and Company, 102.5, 106 for the game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Gabe Nashville Studios. The big story today, Will Levis opting for shoulder surgery instead of what I think was trying to compete for the backup job with Brandon Allen and losing. Will Levis has decided, no, my shoulder injury from October, the one that I suffered in the Dolphins game when I took the injection and was willing to go back in before the coach said, don't come back in the game. The one where I played the next week, told everyone I was healthy, then after the game said, oh, no, my shoulder still hurts, sat out a couple of weeks, then went back in there. Yeah, that shoulder injury. I know I went through the entire offseason program, but I decided to have shoulder surgery on the eve of training camp. Loser. So that's the big news, but that does not change what we do on this program. And the Stillman & Company program, and we are entering our 10th year. This is our 10th football season of Jared the GM / Stillman & Company. We probably do need to have a party next month to celebrate 10 years. In fact, we're going to have one. I've decided. We're going to have a 10-year celebration. I don't know how and when we'll do it. I don't know if it will be open to the public or not. Probably not, but we'll do that. But one thing I've always done, on the Monday of the week that training camp opens, is we've set the official expectations for the Tennessee Titans. Now, I can say throughout the course of the summer and the offseason and the spring before the draft and free agency and everything else, you know, oh, the Titans should be this or the Titans should be that. But it comes to the official expectations, which, again, it's a mathematic formula that we have used over the years to come up with how much we should expect the Titans to win. You know how we do this, but in case you forgot, here's what we do. We take every game over the course of the season, the 17 games the Titans have, and we split them up into five separate categories that will yield us with two results. We don't do ties. We have games they will win. Like, you know, oh, yeah, they're playing the Sisters of the Poor that way. They'll win that game. They'll have the games they should win. They'll have the toss-up games. They'll have the games they probably should lose. And then they have the games they will lose. We take the will wins and the should wins, and we put that in the winning column. We take the will loses and the should loses. We put that in the losing column, and then we split the toss-ups, and that gives us our expectations. So without further ado, the first category. Games the 2025 Tennessee Titans, looking at the schedule, will win. The end. There is not a game on this schedule that I can look at and say, the Titans will win that game. I think that's the first time that we've done this, that's been the case. Now, every year there's always a game we say the Titans will win, you know, like a Jacksonville game or a New York Jets game where Zach Wilson and Corey Davis went off. There's a game like that every year that they lose. And then there's a game against Kansas City or somebody every year we say they'll lose that they win. I'm sure last year we said they were going to lose at the Texans and they won at the Texans. But as far as will win is concerned, I got nothing. Should win. Games they should win this season. Number one, at home against the New Orleans Saints. That's it for the should win. So no games that they will win. I can't be certain they're going to beat the Saints, but I do feel like the Saints, who aren't very good, they're going to be playing Tyler Shuck at quarterback at Nissan Stadium. The Titans should beat New Orleans. Toss-ups, Indianapolis at home, at the Cardinals, at the Raiders, Patriots at home. Everybody else will tell you that the Patriots should win that game. I'm going to say that's a toss-up. I am not a fan of this New England ball club. I don't think they're well put together at all. Toss-up, Jacksonville at home, on the road at Cleveland. Again, I don't know how you could put Cleveland on the road in the should-win category when Cleveland has much better players than you do. So Cleveland, that's at best a toss-up. Games they should lose. at Houston, they should lose that. Houston at home, at Indy, Chargers at home, Seattle at home, at San Francisco, at Jacksonville. I thought about maybe putting at Jacksonville into the toss-up category. Here's the problem I have. It's the same problem I have when it comes to Cleveland. They have just much better players than you do. Who's better, Cam Ward or Trevor Lawrence? It's Trevor Lawrence. At this point, it's Trevor Lawrence. Who's better, your best pass rusher or Josh Hines-Allen on their team? Josh Hines-Allen. Who's better, Calvin Ridley or Brian Thompson or Brian Thomas Jr.? Brian Thomas. They have Travis Hunter. You don't have anybody like Travis Hunter on your team. So I can't put on the road at Jacksonville, I can't put that as a toss-up. Texans, I think we can all agree the Texans should beat the crap out of the Titans. On the road at Indy. I mean, I can't even remember the last time the Titans beat Indy at Indy. I think J-Rob and Vrabel were still running the operation when that happened. At San Francisco, you know, last year and the year before that, and the year before that, that would be a will-lose game on the road at San Francisco. San Francisco's had a lot of changes. I still think they're much better than you. You should lose that one. And then will lose. They will lose to the Broncos week one at home. They are not going to lose. They are not going to win that game. Denver is one of the hardest places to play in the entire NFL. That crowd is going to be super fired up after the season they had last year. They have a top 10 defense. You will be playing with a rookie quarterback on the road with a silent count. They have a top 10 defense with all pro pass rushers, all pro defensive linemen, the reigning defensive player of the year. Sean Payton is the coach. Bo Nix impressed last year. You're not going to beat the Broncos. That's the first game you will lose. You will lose to the Rams in week two. People forget about the way the Rams played down the stretch last year once Jared Verse and Braden Fisk really got rolling. But they almost went to Philadelphia and beat the Eagles in the division round of the playoffs in the snow. A dome team from Los Angeles almost went to Philly and gave them the closest ball game Philadelphia had down the stretch at all last year. You think you're going to beat Matthew Stafford at home? Granted, you're playing at home. You think you're going to beat Matthew Stafford with Cam Ward at quarterback in week two, and they've got Jared Verse and Braden Fisk? Not going to happen. You'll lose to the Rams, and then you play the Chiefs. I mean, like, do I need to go into detail on the Chiefs? You will lose to the Chiefs in what will be a Chief home game at Nissan Stadium. So, just to recap, will win, nothing. Should win, Saints, toss up, Indy, Cardinals, Raiders, Patriots, Jacksonville at home, at Cleveland. Should lose, at Houston, at Indy, Chargers at home, Texans at home, Seahawks at home, at San Francisco, at Jacksonville, and you will lose at Denver, the Rams, and the Chiefs. So what do? We take the will wins and the should wins. That's one, the Saints. We take the toss-ups, six. Split the baby. It's 3-3. That's a four-win season. The expectations for the Titans should be four wins. Woof. And I remember last year, I was a hater because I said five. I said the expectations last year were five. Again, this is a mathematical formula. We just went through it. I said the expectations were five. Ian said his expectations last year with his list were four. This year, they won three. This year, four wins. 615-737-1025. Your reaction. And I have a simple question. For the people that I'm sure don't like it, I don't know. I actually think most people that listen to this show are probably thinking, yep, that probably sounds about right. But my question is this. If you are mad, based on what? We'll get to that next. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. That was Roger McCreary on NFL Network. I love the fact when it's like, you know, and people, they just don't respect the Titans. Well, you are the worst team in the NFL. I want you to know that. This reminds me, so it's so funny how we got to where we are today, where Jeffrey Simmons and Roger McCreary last week are going on NFL Network and just bitching about how nobody ever pays any attention to the Titans and nobody respects the Titans, when again, they are the worst team in ball, the reigning worst team in the NFL. I remember when Vrabel was the coach and the Titans were 2-2 in 2018, but they had beaten the Philadelphia Eagles and somebody else who was really good, Houston, in back-to-back weeks. And the Eagles had just won the Super Bowl, and the Titans beat them in overtime. And Taylor Lewan said something like, you know, now they'll start paying attention to us. And Vrabel was asked a question in the press conference that week after they beat the Eagles about the team earning respect. And Vrabel looked at whoever said it and said, respect from who? And I was like, oh, God. I was like, this guy's about to get it from Vrabel. And as somebody who's gotten it from Vrabel before, it's not that bad, but every now and then, you know, when you say something like that to Vrabel, it's like, oh boy, here goes Vrabel. And Vrabel talked about, we should never care about what TV thinks of us. Vrabel leaves, and now all anybody does, you know, we're going to show up. Let's talk that. Let's keep that to ourselves. And then after the fact, we can say, nobody believed, but like, let's not get up there today and say, you know, nobody respects us. Well, maybe win more than three games and maybe they'll give you a little respect. So again, the expectations this year for me are four wins. I think they should beat the Saints at home and then they'll win half their toss-ups. Indy at home, New England at home, Jacksonville at home, and then at the Cardinals, at the Raiders, at Cleveland. I have not looked at the text line, though I will get to that in a second. But I do feel like most people who are listening to the show, if this was a year ago, I feel like people would have said, oh, Jared, how can you say you hater? You'll see. I think most people listening to the show hear a four-win expectation, given how bad this team is. And they say, yep, that sounds about right. But if you are mad about it, can I ask how? The Vegas over-under is 5.5, which is tied for the worst in the NFL with Cleveland, who has a better roster. You don't have Myles Garrett on your team. And New Orleans, which is the one game that I think you should win. Do you believe after last year that you have a smarter coach than everybody else who's going to work magic when last year's magic was kind of embarrassing? But Jared, we have Cam Ward, a rookie quarterback with no support. One receiver, no tight end, a so-so running game, an offensive line where for the eighth year in a row, we'll see, and a defense whose leader decided to miss the entire offseason program, and all he does is complain about how he never gets sacks and how people get on him for never getting sacks. This team is awful. And I think most people are expecting it that way. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number, 615-737-1025. And our phone line is driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com. One texter says, so if the Titans win six or seven games, is that good enough to save Brian Callahan's job? What would be considered a successful season in 2025? So it's a very loaded question when it comes to Callahan, because I'm not the one who's making the call on Brian Callahan. Amy Adams Strunk is. And if there's anything we've learned about Amy Adams Strunk over the years, it's who knows how she actually feels when it comes to winning and losing. You know what's crazy? 2 years ago, Vrabel's last season, 2023, they won six games. Again, the expectation here is four. The expectation then was not. But the expectation is four. If they win six, that would be exceeding my expectations. But do you guys remember how miserable that last Vrabel season was? That was a six-win season. Now, if we look at the year and we think, well, you know, six wins, we thought going into it to be four. I don't know if that's enough for me to save Callahan's job. But if the expectation's four and you win six or seven, I mean, that is probably the best you can do with that talent on the team. Again, one should win game, no will win games, and six toss-ups. That's seven. If you win seven, that means you won all your toss-ups and you won the one game you should win. You shouldn't beat the Chargers right now. You shouldn't. DK in Mount Juliet says, Callahan looks dead in the water, and the front office didn't do much to help him. He may not be a good head coach, but it looks like Brinker wants him out of the picture because he didn't have a part in his hiring. Apparently, Brinker did have a part in his hiring. I do think Brinker wants Callahan out of there. I do think Brinker's going to get Callahan out of there. But I actually think that Brinker and Borgonzi did more for Callahan this year than Rand Carthon did for him last year. For starters, let's just say quarterback. Will Levis sucks. And Will Levis has the heart of a loser, as we all learned today when he decided he didn't want to compete for the backup quarterback job. Because that's what he was going to be competing for with Brandon Allen, the backup quarterback job. He decided he didn't want to compete today because he's got the heart of a loser. So that was the quarterback Callahan was given last year. And don't even get me started on the right tackle position last year. I mean, J.C. Latham is a legitimate NFL right tackle. And they've got a left tackle. Well, Jared, Dan Moore wasn't that good. Dan Moore was good enough to start for 4 years in Pittsburgh, and they made the playoffs three out of those 4 years. That's better than PT. So I absolutely think that Brinker has done more for Callahan and giving him a chance to keep his job this year than Rand ever did for Callahan last year. Rand went out, traded a third-round pick for an injured corner who got involved, allegedly, in a car dealership shooting. Let's go to Matt, who's up next here on our program at 615-737-1025. Matt, thank you for calling and thank you for waiting. You go ahead.
Yes, sir. Jared, I just got a question. What has Myles Garrett done for the Cleveland Browns that you keep bringing up that Jeffrey Simmons has not done for the Tennessee Titans? I don't understand how you can compare we ain't got Myles Garrett on our team when the Cleveland Browns have not done anything either, even having Myles Garrett.
So,
also,
hold on.
Have you not heard of a... Okay, go ahead.
So you think that Jeffrey Simmons is as good as Myles Garrett?
I think they... I'm not saying as good. Myles Garrett's a Hall of Famer, obviously, already. But what has he done to carry Cleveland anywhere?
Okay, so Jeffrey Simmons had 5 sacks last year and has a career of 31.5 sacks. Simmons has never had, in a single season, 10 sacks. The most he's ever had is 8.5. Myles Garrett has 102 sacks in his career. In fact, Myles Garrett hasn't had under 10 sacks since his rookie year. Everything since then, 13.5, 10, 12, 16, 16, 14, 14. He has been the NFL's defensive player of the year. He is a 4-time first team all pro. That is what Myles Garrett has done. Jeffrey Simmons has been
Cleveland
to a couple pro
bowls. Not got nowhere by having him.
Well, again, I mean, when it comes to Cleveland and it comes to what you were 5 years ago is not what you are today. I mean, again, the argument then that you're making is that Harold Landry is more valuable to the Titans than Myles Garrett is to Cleveland, because with Myles Garrett, all they've done is get to the divisional round of the playoffs, and Harold Landry was on the Titans when they got to an AFC championship game. Now I'll ask you this. Who's better, Myles Garrett or Harold Landry?
Well, obviously, Myles Garrett.
Okay. But according to your logic, it doesn't matter because Myles Garrett has been on the Browns and they haven't won anything after their owner, not Myles Garrett, gave Deshaun Watson that big contract.
I understood. And then also I want to ask you, you know, obviously in college, you got freshman quarterback that come up because it's not scheme-wise. Freshman or first-year rookie quarterbacks in the NFL always amaze people. Well, most of them. Obviously, Will Levis was not one of them. He was drafted also in the second round. when you take a number one quarterback, number one overall, CJ at Houston.
Okay, Matt, I'm going to let you go here. Awesome. Because CJ Stroud and Jaden Daniels had nice rookie years. I get it. That is the exception, not the rule. And not only that, those guys were on better teams. You don't have Terry McLaurin on your team. You don't. And not only that, those guys were better prospects than Cam Ward. Cam Ward went number one because there was nobody else to go number one. Jaden Daniels went number two because Caleb Williams was in the same class. Go look at any list that any of these guys, the great quarterbacks, go look at it, and I'm telling you, they did not think that Cam Ward was the type of prospect that Jaden Daniels or CJ Stroud were. Maybe they're wrong, but they think that Cam Ward is behind J.J. McCarthy and Bo Nix. And Bo Nix went 12th last year. More of your phones. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number if you want to weigh in. That's 615-737-1025. Plus, we do have Ian's expectations. Remember last year, Ian was the one that said four wins. He was the closest. We'll get to that. Stillman and Company, 1025, 106.3 The Game. And there you go. That was Ian. I don't know where Ian's getting a should win on Cleveland. But last year, I was the hater because I said expectations, I think, were five wins. And then Ian did the list, and he had it at four. And I said, well, if Ian says four, when this team was just getting their rear end spanked every week, I was like, hey, even Ian. Ian was the one who saw it coming the best. Ian's got a should win on the road at Cleveland. I'm a little surprised by that. But that expectation model is five wins. Mine is four. Ian's is five. Also, by the way, Ian's breakdown right there or Bill Belichick's audiobook? Which one puts you to sleep faster? I love you, Ian. All right, let's get back to your phones. As promised, the Wizard is up next here on the program. Thank you for calling. Thank you for waiting. Wizard, go.
Jared, longtime caller, first-time listener, how you doing today? Hey, I just want to call and say I think you're over-projecting even on four wins. I mean, this roster is dirt. Two wins if you're lucky only because a broken clock's right twice a day. Yeah, just overall, and then it's like, what do you do with Callahan? Because I don't even know how you can blame the guy for what's happening with the roster is unwinnable.
Well, I definitely think you can look at Callahan and ask yourself, thank you for the call. I think you can look at Callahan and say, you could have won more than three games last year. Like that, you could have won more than three games. Are you part of the solution or are you part of the problem? And when I see Jeffrey Simmons just making every excuse in the book, and I see guys like Roger McCreary going on NFL Network and saying, we're not respected enough, and I'm going to start trash-talking this year. That's a big goal of mine. I'm like, what is Callahan teaching these guys? When you don't change your coaching staff and you don't get better, again, that hasn't happened yet, but he didn't change the offensive coordinator, he didn't change the defensive coordinator, didn't change the quarterback's coach, didn't change any of that. Because Cal Anthony, his coaches, you'll see, you got to go. That's how the league works. You got to go. You got to show progress. You got to go. I think it's pretty telling, though, that the Titans, the ESPN top 10 list where they went over, again, this isn't ESPN's list, but this is what league executives, coaches, and scouts think. They had one player make a top 10 list, Jeffrey Simmons. He was the fourth defensive tackle. They had two honorable mentions, Peter Skoronski and Legarius Sneed, and the little blurb on Sneed was, maybe Kansas City knew something everybody else didn't. And then Kevin Zeitler and Calvin Ridley received votes. That's it. That's awful. That is awful. And so if you think this team's going to be that bad, Callahan's going to get fired. That's how it works in the NFL. If you were to talk to Callahan today and you had a crystal ball, you were a psychic, and you said to him, like, hey, dude, you're going to win three games this year. He'd get on the phone and say, yeah, babe, put the house on the market. Let's just go ahead and get busy. Let's look at school somewhere else. Because Johnny and Joey aren't going back next year. And that's life in the NFL. You know, I think it's funny because Floyd used to always tell me things that Bud Grant would say, the Hall of Fame coach for the Vikings. And Floyd used to say, Bud Grant used to say that coaching in the NFL is the best job in the world when you win. With the implication being that when you lose, it's absolutely miserable. Well, it looks like they're going to lose. One texter says, not sure why Titans players are saying they need to be respected when they don't even respect themselves enough to win more than one or two games a year. The entire franchise is a laughingstock and has been a laughingstock since 2008. They drafted Vince Young, laughingstock. Drafted Will Levis, laughingstock. Drafted Cam Ward, laughingstock. I think the Titans have been a laughingstock ever since they fired John Robinson when they were sitting in first place in 2022. And you can say, well, J-Rob sucked. He did this and he did that. And they were in first place and they had won the division in back-to-back years. Now we're talking about, are they going to win four games this year or are they going to win five games this year? That's where we sit. Eli from Smyrna says, I'm not mad at you, Jared, for the expectations, but I am mad because I don't want to see my team suck. Even the get-in costs for the Titans games are saying they're going to suck. What's the get-in cost for the Chiefs game? Like, I want every Titan fan out there to know this. Because there will be some Titan fans when the Chief game happens that will say, real Titan fans support the team and don't sell your tickets. Screw that. Real Titan fans have their heads screwed on right, know the team is gouging them with PSLs at the new stadium, know the team has no direction right now, and if that's the case, go make your money on the Chief game. You heard it from me first. Corey in Clarksville says, isn't it sad that the national media talks more about Jackson Dart than Cam Ward, and the Giants have three primetime games? Well, you know why that is. They're in New York. That's why. That's like, isn't it sad that the Milwaukee Brewers have a better record than the New York Yankees, but they talk more about the New York Yankees than the Milwaukee Brewers? Well, I mean, come on, it's the New York Yankees. So when you're like, they talk more about Jackson Dart. Yeah, see, it's the Giants. Like, if the Cowboys had drafted Cam Ward number one overall, Cam Ward be talked about every day. The reason nobody talks about Cam Ward on TV is because nobody cares about the Titans, and the Titans are so irrelevant right now. Again, we live in Nashville. We talk Titans every day. We, and I'm saying we, but I want the Titans to be good. I am a Titan fan. I'm thinking they're going to win four games this year. That's why nobody talks about them. I mean, it's as simple as that. That's why nobody does it. Jared from Springfield says, oh my God, we found somebody to call in who says that Jeffrey Simmons is as good as Myles Garrett. You know what's crazy? I feel like for the most part, and I don't think that one caller represents the entire fan base, but I do feel as if most people hear that, you know, well, we got Simmons, and Titan fans are like, oh God, I don't claim that guy right there. I mean, I'm not. So Myles Garrett is a $40 million a year player. Myles Garrett demanded a trade. People were calling and Cleveland was like, no. If Simmons demanded a trade, teams would be like, ha, 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 we'll give you a third. How about that? 615-737-1025, which is our phone number on the program, 615-737-1025. More of your phones. Plus, there was a player released yesterday who I thought, huh, should the Titans have interest? Should this be a move that they make? And then I dug a little deeper. And I know they won't make it, but I'm still not against it. We'll get to that next. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106 for the game. 102.5, the game, and Souls for Souls have teamed up for a back-to-school fundraiser. Souls for the 615 to provide new shoes for kids experiencing homelessness in Nashville. Help a child in Middle Tennessee step into the new school year with confidence by donating $20 for a new pair of athletic shoes. For more information and to donate, visit thegamenashville.com/shoes. Souls for the 615 is sponsored by Messero in 12 South. Go check them out for handcrafted cocktails, bold plates, and great happy hour along with elevated hospitality. So training camp gets started on Wednesday, and so you'll tune in right here. They'll have player interviews on the Chase and Big Joe show and the latest updates as the Titans prepare for next season. So yesterday I was a little surprised. when I saw that the Seattle Seahawks were dumping Noah Fant, the former first rounder of the Broncos, who was part of the Russell Wilson trade, and I thought was a solid player in Seattle, a real starting tight end, and they were just dumping him on the eve of training camp, releasing Noah Fant, who was due $8 million and change, and saying, nah, we don't need him anymore. And I'm thinking, why in the world would they do that? Why would they do that? And then I saw, well, they have Elijah Arroyo, and they really like Elijah Arroyo. And remember, it's $8 million. The cap's fake, but the money is real. And so if you've listened to this show at all, you know the disdain that I have for Chigakonkwo. 2 years ago, when the Titans, I thought, prematurely gave Chig the starting job, I was at training camp. Chig had a good training camp. Gentry Estes said to me at the Tennessee, he goes, I don't know why everybody's getting so excited about Chigakonkwo. And I was like, hey, I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. And then Chig forgot how to catch the ball. Then last year I said, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, that's just not going to happen. And Chig stunk last year. And here we are, same exact spot. Chig starting tight end, even though Chig sucks. And here's Noah Fant out there. And I said, Noah Fant's got to be better than Chig. So I pulled up their stats over the last 3 years. They're pretty much the same player, at least statistically speaking. Chig's played in 51 games. Noah Fant's played in 48. That's roughly the same. Chig has 138 catches. Noah Fant has 130 catches. A difference of 8 catches. Chig has 57 more receiving yards. Yards per reception, Noah Fant 10.8, Chig 10.6. Chig has 6 touchdowns. Noah Fant has 5. So over the last 3 years, Noah Fant and Chig are essentially the same player, at least statistically speaking. Now, according to Pro Football Focus, Noah Fant is a better player than Chig. At least he was last year. He was ranked the 22nd, graded the 22nd tight end in the NFL. Chig was graded as the 32nd tight end in the entire NFL. The Titans aren't going to do this. And here's why the Titans aren't going to do this. They're not going to do it because, again, if Noah Fant was scheduled to make $8 million, then his camp's probably out there right now looking for $6 million. The Titans aren't paying Chig anything. The production is roughly the same. Again, PFF says Fant was a better player, and my guess is the reason that Fant doesn't have as many catches, or, you know, basically has the same amount of catches and the same amount of yards and not more, is because he had to share the football with a Tyler Lockett who wasn't an old pawpaw, a DK Metcalf and Jackson Smith and Jigba over the last 3 years, whereas Chigakonkwo's been on a team with one wide receiver each of the last couple of years. I think I'd do it because I can't stand Chig, and Josh Wiley's never healthy. But if the Titans were going to do this, they would have just traded for Noah Fant. If the Titans were going to do this, if the Titans saw, oh my God, Noah Fant, we can go get Noah Fant. If they were going to do that, they would have traded Chig or Wiley straight up to Seattle for him. And Seattle would have done it because they would have said, okay, we'll take Josh Wiley. We're going to cut him anyways. We'll take Josh Wiley, and he's the backup for $800,000 or whatever it is that Wiley's supposed to make. But at least statistically speaking, Chig actually is better than Noah Fant. And Lord, I can't stand Chig. But that's what you have at tight end. 615-737-1025. Back to your phones. One texter says, my expectation is for the number one overall pick in back-to-back years. This time, though, the Titans will trade it. No, they would not take a quarterback because next year's quarterbacks are not good. Now, let's just play pretend world here for a second, if I may. Let's say the Titans end up with the number one overall pick in next year's draft. And let's say Arch Manning declares for the draft and is all that in a bag of chips this year at Houston. I mean, excuse me, at Texas. Again, we've seen this happen before. Guy is supposed to be a great player. He finally gets out there in college football and dominates. Cam Newton. Let's say that's Arch. Arch gets out there, dominates. Arch declares for the draft. Arch is available, and you've drafted Cam Ward. I'm telling you right now, unless Cam Ward's proven to me that he's Jaden Daniels, I'm getting Arch. But you're probably right. They'll probably end up with the number one pick if they do, and if Arch is there, then they'll trade it and somebody else will draft. But there was a lot of ifs in that scenario with Arch. I have no idea if the quarterback class next year is going to be any good. You know, Trevor thinks that Cade Klubnik and Lenora Sellers and somebody else are all better than Cam Ward. Garrett Nussmeier. He thinks Garrett Nussmeier is better than Cam Ward. There's going to be a lot of people that think Drew Aller is very good. I don't like Drew Aller. Every Penn State game I've ever watched, he's thrown for like 72 yards. But I do think that there's a legitimate chance that the Titans end up with the number one or number two pick next year. One texter says, I think it's sad and miserable that I'm only excited to see training camp and that I'm the only one excited to see training camp and some football. Yeah, I mean, I'm a big training camp guy. You know that. You know I love going out to training camp. And then I love coming back and saying, all right, here's what happened today at training camp. I don't know if I feel that way this year. This team's that bad that I just don't know if I feel that way. I just don't know if I'm excited at all for it. Chris says, can't blame Levis this year, boys. Well, Levis did suck last year, but I guess you can't blame Levis, which, again, this is how it works. They'll blame the coach. It's always musical blame in the NFL. Remember when they had John Robinson and J. Rob We Trust, and Mariota was the quarterback, and Mike Mularkey was the coach, and everybody blamed Mike Mularkey for the Titans not winning more games. That John Robinson was giving Mularkey this incredible team, and Mariota was this incredible quarterback, and Terry Rubisky and Mike Mularkey were holding them back. When now that we know how the story ends, don't you kind of feel like Mike Mularkey squeezed every ounce of juice out of that orange? But it's musical blame. One year you blame the coach. The next year you blame the GM. The next year you blame the quarterback. The next year So Cam's not going to get blamed this year. It'll be Callahan. Borgonzi and Brinker aren't going to get blamed this year. It'll be Callahan. This year, it's all on Callahan. Not that I think that it should or shouldn't be. I don't think Callahan's any good, but we'll see. One texture says, hey, Jared, did you hear there is a petition with like 800 signatures to get you off the radio? Connor, is this such a thing?
Not to my knowledge.
Hold on. I'm going to do a Google search right here. Jared Stillman radio petition. 800 signatures. That is something. Don't think I see anything there. I mean, maybe there is, I don't know. But don't think I see anything there. For whatever that's worth. That's too bad. Well, let's make it 900. Why not? 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025 here on the program. So there is one thing that really, really bothers me as far as the Titans are concerned with the Will Levis news today. And it does not bother me at all that Will Levis is not going to be available for this upcoming season. Will Levis sucks. Will Levis was never going to be the starting quarterback of the Titans. And quite frankly, I don't think Will Levis was going to be the backup quarterback of the Titans. But there is one thing in particular that does really, really bother me. And we'll get to that coming up next. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106 through the game.